Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started over 2 weeks ago talking about a sure foundation, which is just emphasizing how important the Word of God is to everything that you want to receive from God. God's Word is like a seed. If you have a need, you have to plant a seed. You have to go to the Word. The Word of God will produce whatever it is that you need in your life. And this is an oversimplification, but the bottom line is that the reason Christians aren't receiving the things that God has for them is because they do not have the Word of God in them in abundance. Many times people will actually hear the Word of God, but then they allow the cares of this life and other things to choke the Word of God out of their life. And today I am going to discipline myself and I'm going to get back to this parable of the sower sowing the seed. The last couple of days, I am so excited about this because this is what God used to change my life, that I've just been trying to pound this point home the last couple of days, that you've got to get God's Word in your life in an abundance. There has to be more Word in you than there is world in you. And I could go back and make that point again, but let me go back to this parable. I've already used two parables out of Mark chapter 4. We are in the midst of this second parable that I've entitled "The Sower Sows the Seed." And there are four different types of people represented. The Word of God is like a seed. And first of all, Jesus taught this parable about a man that just threw seed and it landed on four different types of ground. And the interpretation of this parable is given in Mark chapter 4, beginning with verse 14 that goes down through verse 20. And we've already talked about a lot of this. The seed is symbolic of the Word of God. Just like you have to plant a seed in the natural to get a harvest, you have to plant the Word of God in the spiritual to get what you need from God. And the seed was sown, first of all, on a place that it was so hard packed, it was like a path where people had walked and packed the ground so hard that it never penetrated and got down in the soil. And so because of that, the birds just came and took it away. That symbolized people whose heart has become so hardened towards God that the Word never penetrated them and they didn't understand it. According to Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, I use that verse to establish this. And the seed never got down inside of them, and so Satan just had access to steal it away. The second type of person is a person that the seed did penetrate their heart. They got excited about it. It says here that they received it with gladness in verse 16. But then in verse 17, it says they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the Word's sake, immediately they are offended. And I've already spent quite a bit of time talking about this, primarily in the latter part of last week. But this is describing a person who the Word of God excited them. They saw the potential, but yet they still didn't see the benefit that the Word of God could make in their life because they let affliction and persecution steal away their confidence and their boldness, their complete commitment to those truths. And I've spent a lot of time already talking about that. You really need to get these materials because I'd love to go back and say it, but I'm going to move on. Let me just make this point, that this shows that affliction and persecution came against the Word of God, and the purpose of the affliction and persecution was to steal away the seed that had been sown in their heart. Now, let me ask you this question. Who do you think is trying to steal the seed, the Word of God, out of their heart? Well, obviously, this is not God. God is not wanting us to get His Word planted in our heart, and then He brings afflictions and persecutions trying to steal it. It is very obvious to anybody who would be honest with this that afflictions and persecutions come from the devil. And I just want to make this point because today, you know, just like in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, I believe it is, it says, "Woe unto those that call evil good and good evil." And that is happening today. There are people, there are a large segment of the quote-unquote Christians, body of Christ, who are saying that God is the source of the problems in your life. God sends troubles and trials, and they're telling you it's to make you better. This makes it very clear that afflictions and persecutions came to steal away the Word. They do not come to make you better, to make you stronger. If tribulation made you a stronger Christian, then the people who have suffered the most would be the strongest Christians, and that is absolutely untrue. Tribulation does not make you great. Now, if you are in a bad situation and the faith that you've already got through the Word of God, you stand on it and use it, and because of that, you win a victory and you overcome some hardship, you are going to be better off for it. But God didn't send that hardship. God sent His Word. His Word will be tested. You will have Satan come against you, and if you stand and fight and win, you'll be better off for it. That's what James chapter 1 is talking about in other scriptures. But it is not right to credit God with those afflictions and persecutions. God does not send problems into your life. This makes it very clear that Satan does this to steal away the Word. And notice it says that when these afflictions and persecution arise for the Word's sake. Let me make this point too. This is so important that you get this. Afflictions and persecutions come against you because Satan realizes the power, the potential of God's Word in your life. He's afraid of it. He's been beat by the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, is what it says in John chapter 1. And Jesus beat the devil. Satan has learned firsthand how important the Word of God is. And he realizes that if the Word of God ever gets rooted and established on the inside of you, then he is hurting for certain. And so Satan will take everything he's got planned against you for 10 years in the future. And when you first take a stand on the Word of God, he'll throw everything he's got at you, trying to get you to back up. Here's a scripture that says that same thing in Hebrews chapter 10. It says that once you were enlightened, you endured a great fight of afflictions. And this is talking about that the moment the Word of God becomes alive to you and it opens up, Satan is going to take everything he's got planned for years in advance and throw it at you, because you're your weakest when you are just having that seed planted and before it gets rooted. You know, it's similar to a little plant. If you take a plant, like you could take an oak tree, and if it's just a little tiny oak tree, did you know it's hard for that thing to withstand a winter and the extreme cold and all of these kind of things, or a drought? If it's a small tree, many times it won't be able to live through hardship. And so you take plants that are small and you incubate them. You put them in a greenhouse or in a hothouse, and you protect them until they get rooted and established. But once that tree becomes established, a oak tree can withstand a hurricane. It can withstand a freeze and all of these kind of things because it's established and it's mature. Well, likewise, Satan knows that you are your most vulnerable when the Word of God is first sown in your life. And so afflictions and persecutions come for the Word's sake. He is trying to get you to back off of the Word. And you go through a process that when you first get a revelation, it seems like things get worse instead of better. You know, I know that when I first started preaching on the subject of healing, this would be way back in, I don't know, 1970 or something like that. And I mean, God just revealed truths to me. And I started preaching on healing. We started praying for people. We were seeing miracles happen. I had not really been sick to speak of in years. I had lived a relatively healthy life. And when I first started preaching on healing, I was doing a Bible study on Monday nights, and I was doing a series on healing. When I started teaching on healing, I got sick and stayed sick for nearly 6 weeks. I mean, I had headaches. I started having colds. My nose was running. I got something in my throat. I could barely talk. I hadn't been sick in years. But the moment I started preaching on healing, I had Satan throw everything at me. And I had so much sickness. And you know, here's what I felt in my self. As I was preaching on healing, I thought, God, if this is the way it's going to be, if I teach on healing and if this is the attack that I'm going to get, I think I'll quit preaching on healing. And see, that's exactly what afflictions and persecution are designed to do, is to get you to back off of that word because it doesn't look like it's working, or because you get persecuted because you've said it. And, you know, I went through a process where I considered backing off of my faith on this, but as I went to the Word, I saw it was true, and I said, you know, I finally came to a place to where I said, you know, I don't care if I can live it or not. This is what the Word of God says. And if I fall over dead, they're going to write on my tombstone, by the stripes of Jesus, He was healed. Amen. And I just made a decision that this Word, it was the truth, and I was going to preach it regardless of what came. And did you know, when I made that decision that week, that sickness that I'd been fighting for like 6 weeks, it just left and it was gone. And basically, I have walked in supernatural divine health for the last 40 years, 39 or 40 years. And I mean, I have seen God do miraculous things. And there was a time when I first started believing that, I mean, just sickness came at me and I had to stand and work through it. There was a time when I first started believing for prosperity and speaking that it was God's will, that I guarantee you it seemed like the bottom fell out and I lost everything. And yet I just decided that, no, I'm not going to give up. This is what the Word says, and I'm going to believe it and I'm going to preach it because it's the truth. And you know what? Now I see prosperity working and I see things going on. And it's this way all of the time. This is what this verse is saying, that you receive the Word with gladness, but you lose your commitment to it, your excitement about it, your enthusiasm about it because of the persecution or the affliction that comes your way. And in a sense, you could look at it this way, that if you stand on the Word of God and you make a commitment like, I'm going to prosper, I don't care what the recession is like, I don't care what the world does, but by the atonement of Jesus, my needs have been met and I am prosperous. If you make a declaration like that and all of a sudden you get laid off from your job, if all of a sudden something happens and your finances go south, instead of looking at that and saying, oh, what did I do wrong? You actually ought to look at it like it's a compliment. Satan realizes that you have just planted the Word in your heart. And if he doesn't do something quickly before this Word gets established, he's going to be in for a terrible fight. He is going to suffer tremendously. And so the devil is throwing everything he's got planned at you for years in advance, trying to get you to back up. See, if you could understand that from this passage of Scripture, then what it would do is, in a sense, it's like a compliment. When you take a stand and say, by his stripes I'm healed, and then all of a sudden you get sick, you think, man, I hit a nerve. Man, the devil is throwing everything he's got at me. But you know what? I believe the Word, and I'm going to stand, and I'm going to come through this, and you are going to see victory. You make a stand for prosperity, and then your finances get worse. You could actually take that as a backhanded compliment. The devil knows it. He better do something right now. And so all you got to do is just stand for a period of time. Just endure this brief onslaught of the devil trying to come and steal the Word. And if you will stand through that, then the Word of God will begin to start taking root in your life and you will start seeing results. I really believe in my heart that I'm speaking to a bunch of people today, that you have embraced the Word, you have planted the Word in your heart, you have made some bold proclamation and you're moving in a direction that you believe God is telling you, and yet it seems like that everything in your life is going exactly opposite to what you're believing. And many of you are just like on a fence, you know, swaying back and forth. Which way are you going to fall? Are you going to wind up losing your faith? Are you going to get into unbelief and say, well, this isn't working, and quit? But I believe that God has had you tune into this program to push you in the other direction and let you realize that it is not a coincidence that when you make a bold declaration and you plant the Word and you move in a direction that everything begins to go bad. This is because the devil is coming with afflictions and persecution trying to steal the Word from you. And instead of backing up, instead of decreasing, instead of going in another direction, you need to be stronger than you've ever been. And you just need to make the decision that, praise God, Satan, you will not steal this word from me. Afflictions and persecution aren't going to make me back up. And you just get stronger in your faith. And if you'll do that, then I believe you'll move on and you'll begin to start bearing fruit and you'll see this come to pass. Again, I could go to scriptural examples. I've already given you some personal examples, but in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas, they were out ministering the gospel and just systematically going places. And the Lord forbid them to go into two certain places. And finally, while Paul was asleep one night, the Lord told him, go over into Macedonia, into Philippi, because there were people there calling him to come help him. And so it says that he rose up assuredly gathering that God had sent them to Philippi. And he got to Philippi. Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. We know that this was God that directed him. He had a dream, and in this dream, God supernaturally spoke to him. And so this was a supernatural intervention. We know that God sent Paul over to Philippi. And yet, when Paul got there, what happened? He saw one woman, Lydia, born again, and there might have been a few others, but there was minimal results. And then he was beaten and whipped and thrown in prison and in the dungeon in the midst of that prison. You know what Satan was doing? Satan was coming with afflictions and persecution, not because he was out of God's will. He had a supernatural experience that directed him there. He was in the center of God's will, and yet everything looked like it was going wrong. He was beaten. He was put in stocks in the bottom part of the prison. It was a terrible situation. See, he could have given up. He could have quit. He could have said, well, I thought God sent me here. There's a lot of people that believe that if God has really led you to do something, then everything is just going to automatically work. I see people, you know, about our Bible college all of the time, and God told them to come here, and so they move here, and they just think that if God really ordained it, then their house will sell supernaturally to the very first person that looks at it, that it'll be more money than they asked for. They'll get the best deal here. They'll get a job. Everything just works supernaturally. There's a lot of people that believe that if you're following God, that there will be no opposition. It's really just the opposite. If you are following God, you can tell you've arrived in the promised land if there are giants there. Amen. I mean, when God sent the Israelites into the promised land, one of the ways that they knew they'd arrived was because of the giants, because of the people that were opposing them and not wanting to give up their land. When you are following God, it's not correct to think that there won't be any opposition. I really don't think you ought to try and figure out whether you are in the will of God based on circumstances, positive or negative. You just need to hear from God and do it regardless of what happens. But if you are going to look at circumstances, it would probably be more accurate to say that if you are being opposed, you are probably following God's will than it is that if everything just works right. I mean, if you never bump into the devil, it's because you're both going in the same direction. When you turn around and start swimming upstream, it takes more effort. There is going to be more resistance to go against the flow than there is to go with the flow. Satan is going to fight you. Afflictions and persecutions are going to come. And so in a sense, when you take the Word of God, if things don't look right at the beginning, now ultimately you're going to see the Word of God produce a harvest and it will work. But in the very beginning, Satan is going to come against you with everything he can to keep you from letting that Word take root in your life. And you need to be aware of this, and you don't need to be shocked or surprised as though some strange thing happened unto you. You need to recognize that there is going to be opposition from the devil. And notice it says that when this affliction persecution came for the word's sake, immediately they were offended. You know, I could spend much more time on this than what I have on this program. But the word offended here doesn't mean that you quit believing that something was true. It just means that you've lost your enthusiasm, your confidence, your total commitment to it. In my own life, I've given a lot of these examples already. I won't go back through it. But I can tell you that when I was listening to other people and I loved what they were saying and I knew it was true and I rejoiced and received it with gladness, and I would go back to my little Baptist church and go to preaching those things. But man, they didn't like it and they would criticize me. And because I didn't have root in myself, I was preaching another person's revelation, I would be offended. That doesn't mean that I quit believing it. I still believed it. I knew it. If you would have asked me, I'd have said, oh, yes, it's still God's will for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, deliverance, prosperity. I still believe those things. But I lost my confidence in it because of the criticism. I didn't have a root in myself. And so I still believed it, but I was nearly apologetic about my statement of it because I knew I was going to be criticized. It's kind of like if you reach over and pet a dog. If every time you reach down to pet it, it bites you. After a while, you get a little skeptical about reaching over and petting that dog. I got afraid to say what I believed because I knew I was going to be criticized and I knew I was going to be persecuted and people were going to condemn me and stuff. And so I still believed, but I was just offended. I was fearful of what people had to say. And that's what this is describing. It doesn't mean that you quit believing. It doesn't mean that necessarily you say, all right, I quit believing this stuff. I don't believe in healing anymore. But no, you just lose your enthusiasm about it. You lose your confidence and your boldness. You become so afraid of what people are going to say that you won't say anything because you don't want to be persecuted. You know what? If you've done that, then you're offended. And the word is not going to work in your life. You're going to have to reach a place to where the Word of God is just absolute, and you're going to say the truth, and you're going to live the truth, and you are going to speak the truth, and if people don't like it, it's their problem. And you're going to have to pass through that barrier before God's Word starts working. There are some of you that know the things I'm saying are true. You believe it in your heart. But you know what? You're offended. You're insecure. You aren't absolutely confident with it. You won't take a stand because you just don't have root in yourself and you're afraid. And affliction and persecution hasn't totally taken the word away from you, but it's kept it from bearing fruit because you aren't bold. You're compromising. And I'm not saying any of those things to condemn you, but I'm saying it to open up your eyes because you're confused. Well, I believe that it's God's will to heal. Why aren't I healed? Because you won't take a stand for it. You are more concerned. You know, it says in Proverbs chapter 29 that the fear of man brings a snare. If you are afraid of voicing your opinion, your beliefs, what the Word of God has said in your life, because affliction and persecution has got you gun shy and you won't stand up for what you believe, then you know what? You are snared. The Word of God's not going to produce in your life. Now, there's wisdom to use. You just don't go out and say things that are, you know, just for the purpose of causing argument. That's not what I'm talking about. There's a balance to this. But I'm saying if you are timid and shy and bashful and bothered by other people's opinion and you won't stand up for the truth, Satan will keep that seed from bearing fruit. You've been offended. And praise God, you need to get past that. Today's going to be my last day to offer you this second teaching in our series entitled A Sure Foundation. So if you would like to get this second teaching as a free gift, today will be our last day. Please listen to our announcer and then respond, call or write today.
Andrew's complete teaching titled A Sure Foundation is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Make sure to specify whether you want the CD or DVD album when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The second teaching in the Sure Foundation series titled Got a Need? Plant a Seed is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this second CD free of charge when you write or call.
Today is my last day to offer you the second teaching in this four-part series entitled A Sure Foundation. We're going to continue to offer the album, the CD album, and also the DVD album for a gift of any amount, but for those who could not or would not send an offering for these products, we offer each individual teaching in the set one at a time free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do this. And today will be our last day to offer you the second teaching in this four-part series entitled Got a Need? plant a seed. So if you would like to receive this as our free gift, today's the last day to make this available. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to please call or write and do it today.
We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for the Charis Bible College Men's Advance, January 28th through the 30th, and in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 4th through the 6th, and in Merritt Island, Florida, February 7th. He'll also be in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, March 3rd through the 5th, and in Colorado Springs for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 10th through the 12th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
You know, we have a lot of information on our website. Not only this teaching that I have about a sure foundation, but I have about, I think it's 8 or 10 years of my television programs are archived there that you can watch free of charge. I have more than that, radio programs that you can listen to. I have hundreds of my teaching tapes that you can download. You talk about getting the Word in you. Our website is really one of the best sources on the web, I believe, for getting the Word of God out. And so I encourage you to check it out. We have the address right there on the screen. And if you would check it out, I guarantee you, you will get the Word through our AWMI website.
Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
I knew that I need to just give God's Word priority. And you know, I'm not just starting in this. I've been doing this for 41 years. I've been seeking God with my old heart and studying the Word. And yet, you don't ever get to where the Word of God is. You just got it all figured out. As a matter of fact, I just now have enough understanding of the Word of God that I'm just now asking some good questions. I got a lot of questions that I haven't got answered yet, and I'm still studying the Word. And you know, over the last year of my life, I probably have received as much revelation from God through studying the Word as I have ever received in my life.